105. Hallelujah. Thank God. Pray to him by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs. Belt out the hymns. Translate his wonders into music. Honour his holy name with hallelujahs. You who seek God, live a happy life. Keep your eyes open for God. Watch out for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence.
He's God, our God, in charge of the whole earth. And he remembers his covenant. For 1,000 generations, he's been as good as his word. It's the covenant he made with Abraham, the same oath he swore to Isaac, the very statute he established with Jacob, the eternal covenant with Israel. Namely, I give you the land. Canaan is your hill country inheritance.
Then Israel entered Egypt. God gave his people lots of babies, and soon their numbers alarmed their foes. He turned the Egyptians against his people. They abused and cheated God's servants. Then he sent a servant Moses and Aaron, whom he also chose. They worked marvels in that spiritual wasteland, miracles in the land of Ham.
God spread a cloud to keep them cool through the day and a fire to light their way through the night. They prayed and he brought quail, filled them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water poured out. It flowed like a river through that desert. All because he remembered his covenant, his promise to Abraham, his servant.
Remember this. He led his people out singing for joy. His chosen people marched, singing their hearts out. He made them a gift of the country they entered, helped them seize the wealth of the nations so they could do everything he told them, could follow his instructions to the letter. Hallelujah.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Welcome to our service. Look, if you're visiting here, oh boy, have you chosen a service to come to? So we're calling this our celebration service. So next week, we enter into a new partnership with Bethlehem Baptist Church, and we are in for a change. So we thought today, let's do a whole lot of tradition. So we're going to be celebrating the past, we're going to be looking at that, and so the service is going to be a bit different, but I hope you really enjoy it. And we're going to be telling the story and rewalking that as we anticipate the future. As I was thinking about our journey as a church over recent years, where, as those of you who are regular, we've had the challenge of trying to grow younger as a church. And along with trying to grow younger, but wanting to reach out and to serve our community, and with an average age of around 80, that was becoming more and more of a challenge. We had a desire to see children's ministry and youth ministry back in these buildings. And our disappointments and frustrations as we tried different things, and none of them eventuated. And that was tough, wasn't it? It was tough. We invested time and money and people and prayer. My thoughts, as I thought through this, my thoughts went to the Israelites and their journey out of Egypt, their wandering in the wilderness, and their hope for the promised land. And as we read the story in Exodus, what a journey. What a journey they had. When you read it next time, imagine actually being there. You know, there were good times, there were bad times, there were long times of hope and anticipation and disappointment. And as we read about their journey, the thing that I noted the most, and it comes up all the way along, God walked with them. It didn't matter whether it was the good or the bad, God walked with them. And so today, as I said, this is our celebration service. It's going to be a bit different, and we're going to spend some time remembering. Remembering how God has walked with us. Remembering the good times, but actually also remembering some of the tough times that were intermingled in with the good times. We can sometimes, excuse the expression, we can sometimes suffer a bit of dementia when it comes to tough times, can't we? Especially as we look back, we can tend to gloss over the tougher times and only remember the good old days. So I'm going to walk us down memory lane. And look, feel free to yell out a short memory. If you have a memory that's relevant to what I'm talking about, feel free to yell it out. Hopefully it'll only last a sentence. We haven't got time for 10-minute memories, otherwise we're going to be here till Christmas time. But if you've got that, you know, Pete is going to have a mic. And if it's a long memory, grab the mic. If it's a short memory and you've got a booming voice, just boom it out and I'll relay it on. So, hands up who remembers this. Yeah, there are a few of you actually. So it probably not, this was a little bit later. The church started in 1911. I don't think any of you were alive then. Kevin, were you alive 1911, mate? And the first few years were tough. And in the records, it says, in the archives, after 16 years after the church planted, there was a membership of only 24. 16 years, 24 people. But the writer said, it was mighty in spirit. Now, I wonder whether this was a prophet with a vision, or an optimist, or whatever, I don't know. But they were a very positive first person. After 16 years, 24 people, but they said it was mighty in spirit. And so you might see there on the front that it talks about an all-age Sunday school. And this was huge. It actually wasn't common in New Zealand, but Central majored in that, and an all-day Sunday school, and this was huge. And in its heyday, they had people meeting in buildings up and down Cameron Road because there wasn't enough room in here. So they had people meeting down in the local garage, kids. And this was children and adult Bible class. Can you recognize some faces in that? 1953. Who can you recognize? Doreen, yep. Doreen Bourne is down here. Can you see the red thing? Nolene Wilson. Nolene's down the back over there. Where are you? There's Nolene. That's her there. So 1953, this was the Bible class, the woman's Bible class. Kevin didn't make that one. A few years later, on the 50th Jubilee, that was the church. The place was packed. Look at that. Huge numbers. They know how to pack people. Health and safety didn't exist in those days. Fire egresses didn't exist. There were no maximums. There was no laws to break. Just pack them in like sardines and let's eat as well. They knew how to celebrate. Throughout, as we walk, we're going to pause to sing. And I thought an appropriate song now would be Thou My Vision. So let's stand and sing. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Stand and sing together this wonderful hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Thanks. Please be seated. And things seemed all good. And we started to build the current building that we're in now. But actually it wasn't all good. There were murmurings, similar to those that Moses and Aaron heard. Remember, the Israelites were only 1 month in, and it's set out in Exodus chapter 16, if you want to read that at some stage. And the people realize that things aren't going to the original plan. There were periods of hunger and thirst, and they quickly became discouraged. They began to reminisce. The Israelites began to reminisce about their life in Egypt. Even though God had freed them from bondage and created a path through the Red Sea, some of the Israelites wanted to go back to making bricks from mud, to become slaves again. They wanted to sell their hope for a bite to eat. And I think all of us can probably relate to that and understand that. In verse 2 of chapter 16 of Exodus, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." They were not happy campers. And in the mid-60s here at Central, there were murmurings. It was early charismatic renewal time. Murmurings. And the church had some unhappy campers, so much so that the then pastor, Eric Sherbert, who was back here not so long ago, part of the community again, unfortunately, he felt it was time to resign. He was wanting to move through into those new experiences of God, but people were saying no. And he resigned. Things were not good. Meanwhile, while the charismatic renewal was still brewing around the country, we still built the community centre, which had served us so well, and the community so well over the years. What foresight these leaders had. So even amongst some of those difficult things, there were still people looking ahead and planning. There were also a few other individuals who had foresight as well. Do you recognize them? Brian and Elaine Keem. Brian's down here. Dulcie and Russell. Dulcie's the one that just passed away last week. Just last week. Nolene. Over there again, Nolene Wilson and Ross, they were all planning ahead, ready for the baby boom. Doreen and Gordon, Heather and Jared, Heather's at the back there, Tom and Robin, Tom there, Robin at the back there. That's almost cheating to include Pete and Carla, isn't it, eh? But they were married here. I don't think they were the last wedding here, but probably not far off it. Not far off it. And because of those weddings, the young people grew in number. We had many babies. And this is children's and youth ministry in the early 60s. Boys Brigade was huge. The young people dressed well. Them were the days, eh? The old people had different fashion sense. Can you see who that is? Okay, who have we got? We've got Elaine there. We've got Lorna. Colleen there. June Bishop. I barely recognise June Bishop in there. Yeah, and is it Dulcie Beats? Lois Beats? Patricia Beats, I should say? No, Lois... Yeah, Simons, yes, that's right, yeah. And so the children's ministry was pumping in all sorts of different ways. And you see Tom there? Tom on the drums? And so there was also a time where, so Tom, you started on the drums not in the church, but in the den. Who remembers the den? So the den, I believe, was a hole at the back of the church somewhere where the young people gathered and played. Yeah.
Yes, so the den was formed, and it was inviting all the young people from all the churches around town after church, and so we'd sit there and have a really good time.
Yeah, and that would have been the beginning or the continuation of the depth of the youth ministry. And look, I just want to pause here and acknowledge those who have been involved in the worship throughout the time, but also recently. And the worship team, they're probably having the greatest impact as we merge with BBC, because all of them are stepping down. And that's significant, because many of them really love to serve in this area. But I want to acknowledge that team of people who have served so faithfully over the years. The church...
That in the back of the den, in those years, there is a Papua New Guinea flag.
That's not the back of the... That's actually the front of the church, and this was a special event. It was a Christmas around the world event that this photo was. I don't have any photos of the den, unfortunately. It was probably underground, and no one really wanted to tell the adults what was happening. Tom said he's got some photos, I should get some for the archives. So, look, the church continued to grow, and into the 80s we had a strong youth ministry, and you see a very young Wayne Fraser there, and you probably recognise a few of your kids in that photo as well. And the youth ministry, the children's ministry and the youth ministry really continued to grow. There were babies popping out all over the place as... churches were being born as well. And this was the time in the era of church planting in the 50s through to the 90s. And Central had an integral part of planting churches, Baptist churches. Mind you, we probably fed a few non-Baptist churches as well. But Baptist churches around the city. And that's huge. That is really huge. So let's pause at this stage and sing our next song, Blessed Assurance, which has the phrase, "This is my story. This is our..." In the late 90s, the youth ministry began to struggle. And by the end of the 2000s, the church had gradually changed from an intergenerational community church into a niche seniors church. Some might want to argue that this might have been the beginning of our wilderness period, but I am not sure that we can define it as that so easily. Sure, we lost our children in youth ministry, and that was incredibly sad. But for a number of years, we continued to grow and see older people come into a new relationship with Jesus Christ and be baptized. It was still a good time. There was still a time of growth. But yes, it did lead us to where we are now. A beautiful church of older people with a heart for God and a concern that we may not exist in 5 to 10 years' time. You can certainly argue that we are probably in the wilderness time now, and maybe for the last 10 years. Maybe you could argue since Tom's ministry concluded. Sure, while in the wilderness we had glimpses of hope, and maybe we would mention the upper room. That was a glimpse of hope where we prayed and we invested and we hoped that this would bring new life, new young life into our church. And I want to acknowledge Andrew and Juliet Maud and Nicola and Wayne Fraser and the leadership and the commitment that they put into trying to establish and to build up that significant ministry in the midst of our wilderness. It wasn't easy. It's easy to think that the wilderness is bad. Maybe a wasted time, a lost time, a negative time, but no, that's not correct at all. Actually, God has always made good use of the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that Moses was transformed from a headstrong, impulsive, sort of semi-Egyptian type person into the meekest man on earth. It was in the wilderness that David, before he was King David, that David discovered his leadership skills. It was in the wilderness that John the Baptist grew strong in spirit until the day of his manifestation, if you like, to Israel, where he revealed himself to Israel. And Jesus, of course, was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, but after 40 days emerged in the power of the Spirit. Never waste a good wilderness. Sure, it wasn't the original plan of the Israelites who were freshly delivered out of slavery in Egypt. It wasn't part of the plan that they should spend 40 years in the wilderness. It could have been as short as a couple of weeks if they had taken the direct route. If they had walked in obedience. But God is the ultimate expert in making good use of poor plans. He used Israel's time as they trudged through desolate places to shape a new generation of Israelites into a people who could enter by faith into the blessing that the parents had been deprived of. And I firmly believe that we here at Central are better off for our wilderness. The things that we have learnt about ourselves and our attitudes and the healing and the transformation that has occurred is huge. Thank God for the wilderness. And to try and continue on this metaphor of the Israelite journey, we now are on the cusp of entering the promised land. What is the promised land? Well, it's probably overstating it to say that Bethlehem Baptist Church is the promised land. But look, it is a place of hope, isn't it, for us? It really is. We hope that the transition that we're going to go through, the grief that we are going to experience as we go through this transition, we hope that at the other side there is going to be good things. The Israelites saw that their hope for the future was in Canaan, and it would be costly. And actually, they were a bit fearful. I think we can relate to that too. Oh, sure, the Israelites had their eyes on the promised land, but sometimes their minds kept on going back to Egypt, to the good old days. They had watched in awe as God led them by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire at night. But even so, they still missed the familiar, the known. It was Canaan or Egypt. And to reach one, you had to turn your back on the other. And it's completely normal and expected to act like the children of Israel, to experience loss of the familiar, grief. And sometimes we would rather turn to the familiar than fight for the future. That's normal. It's just part of being human beings. Sometimes we can't reach Canaan or the promised land because we're too busy thinking about Egypt. Yes, our eyes are on Canaan, but our minds are still in Egypt. I want to pause again and sing another song. And this song, He Has Brought Us This Far By His Grace. And I think it's just an excellent song at this stage. Please be seated. We, the leadership team of Central Baptist here, we firmly believe that we have been led by God. There's no doubt about that in our minds at all. We've been, if you like, led by fire and by cloud. And yeah, this might be overstating it, but we also think we're about to enter the promised land, a place of hope, a place maybe flowing with milk and honey. Our journey has seemed long, and at times we have wondered, you know, are we heading in the right direction? We've questioned ourselves, certainly. It hasn't been easy. But now we are there and we're ready to take this next step. The book of Exodus.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Why does God love me?
I'll talk to you about that one afterwards, okay? We'll just finish this and I'm happy to talk with you after the service. Okay, thanks. The book of Exodus tells the story of the exit out of Egypt and the wilderness journey. And the book of Joshua tells the story of the Israelites' long-awaited entrance into the promised land. You know, after hundreds of years of slavery and almost half a century of wandering in the desert, the Israelites finally encounter paradise. Now, that might be overstating Bethlehem too. You know, a simple reading of Scripture might be, you might be tempted to expect that this, you know, this story, this is the gift that's been doled out as justice for all the hardship they've had before. You know, life had been tough, but the future is going to be good. Heaven on earth, isn't it wonderful? But actually, that's not what happens if you read the story. God led the Israelites into the promised land, yes, and it was a place of hope, yes. And then they were faced with the task of getting established there. Yes, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Their hope was way, way up there. This location was great for trade, and there were different regions that all had their different sources of wealth, and they had all come through this area. It was a very valuable location. There were multiple nations already well established there within its borders. Cities were built and fortified. Armies and powerful kings stood there around every region. And despite all of this, God tells the Israelites, "This is the land I give you." And then he tasks them with an undertaking that will only be possible if they rely on God. We might be on the cusp of new hope, but we must continue to rely on God. And spearheading this conquest, Joshua, not Moses, Joshua leads the Israelites into situations of immense danger, which looked like guaranteed to fail. They faced giants, cities with multiple walls, armies that outnumbered them. Yet the Israelites won these impossible victories. It wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't easy. The difficulties were immense. But they continued to rely on the promise of God. They got up, fought the fight, and they won for themselves a new homeland. And while the parallels with the story of the Israelites' entrance into the promised land, you know, is there, it falls short on a number of ways as you try and apply it to us. We are not going to use force. We are not going to kill anybody as we enter into this land of new hope. You know, some parallels that are there, there was a change of leadership. From Moses to Joshua. From myself and our leadership team to Craig Vernal at BBC and his leadership team. Moses died. That is not my plan. This adjustment will be significant. We need to get to know Craig and his team. We need to allow them to exercise their God-given leadership. We need to support them, encourage them. It's not easy leading a church. Not easy at all. Let alone taking on a church with decades of traditions. We need to be praying for them all the time. And I guess at this stage I just want to pause to acknowledge the leadership of Central Baptist. And Doug, you said something the other day which was very appropriate. Our leadership team have done an amazing job over the last 10 years. But before my time, yeah. Murray Hood, our chair, isn't here. He's catching up with family, but I did tell him I was going to mention it and to make sure he pats himself on the back at around this time on a Sunday. It wasn't smooth sailing for the Israelites. And as I said before, they faced giants and armies, large armies. It wasn't easy. There was changes and discomfort, and there will be changes and discomfort here as well. The music won't be the way you prefer. There will be noise and different attitudes to things that you think are important. People will sit in your seats. Kids will run around the place. They'll stand on the chairs so that they can see the words, and that is okay. And did I mention the change in music? But despite the challenges the Israelites faced, they continued to rely on the promise of God. They got up, they fought the fight, and they won for themselves a new homeland. And that is what we need to keep in mind as we wrestle with minor skirmishes of our traditions. Remember, we're on a journey. We're not going to get it all right at the first instant. It's a journey, but it's not about getting our way or making the promised land like it was back in the good old days. It's a journey to a destination where we are a healthy intergenerational church, discipling our children and grandchildren and reaching out into the community where we live. May that be our prayer. As we celebrate the past, let us look forward to the future. Shortly we're going to sing another couple of hymns to finish off the service. But I want to ask Nolene Wilson, one of our long-standing, and she featured a couple of times, I want her to pray. I'm going to take the microphone down to her.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the small group of people 113 years ago who felt prompted and leading, who felt prompted and established the church here in Tauranga. There have been many loyal, faithful people over the years here, witnessing and working to spread your word. Central was able to start Baptist fellowship groups around Tauranga and in the outlying area, and we give you thanks for the local churches they have become. Through the good times and the challenging times, Lord, you have guided and led us in the right direction. Now, as we venture into a very different stage here at Central, we thank the Bethlehem Baptist folk, especially those in the younger age group, for their willingness to join with us and lead us. And Lord, we look forward to our growth and witness for you in the coming days and years ahead. All this we pray in your precious name. Amen.
We're going to have the worship team to lead us. Thanks.